Father, we do thank you again this morning for Jesus Christ, for the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can be controlled by Him and that He can do a work inside of us. We thank you for this wonderful truth of the resurrection. And we just pray that we might get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has for us in the future. And not be so entangled with the cares of this world and the things that are in the nasty now, but we might realize that we have an opportunity of service, that we might serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. We have been talking for several weeks about spiritual gifts. And I stopped and looked at our church, tried to evaluate how we stand and where we are. We have asked our people to fill out a questionnaire and to indicate on this questionnaire what they feel like their gift is and where they would like to serve. They feel like the Lord would have them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ here in our church. And as I have looked at these, and of course, most of you have not turned them in yet, and maybe this is part of the problem, but I see that we are very strong on teaching. In fact, we have a great Sunday school as far as I'm concerned. We had a Sunday school teachers meeting last Sunday night, and our Sunday school director made a statement, and I'll have to agree with it wholeheartedly. He says he thinks that we have the best group of teachers of any church in this whole area. And we're not just talking about Starville. I'm talking about the whole area. I agree with that. We do have lots of good teachers. By the way, if you weren't in Sunday school this morning, you missed out on that or some of that. But no doubt about it, we have some strong teachers in our church. We thank God for them. And then there's no doubt about we have some with the gift of helps and some with the gift of showing mercy and serving and rulership and exhortation and faith. But I think, in fact, I know as far as the papers that were handed in, we are way short on the gift of evangelism. Way short. Now, I don't know what the problem is. It could be that we haven't had enough evangelists to come in to exhort us and to show us and to lead us. I don't know. We have a course on Sunday night that teaches evangelism, but I'm sure that's not enough. So you're going to be seeing some evangelists behind this pulpit in the near future. We're going to have to remedy this some kind of way, and I want you to start praying with me about this, that we have more people with the gift of evangelism. Now, I'm going to say this, and then we'll be through with gifts for a while, unless you have some questions. You don't have to be an evangelist like Billy Graham to have the gift of evangelism. Any Christian can have the gift of evangelism. You don't have to be an ordained person to have the gift of evangelism. If you love lost people, and we all ought to love lost people, but if you have a burning desire to see people saved, you want to do that. You want to tell them how to be saved. You can't sleep at night because you've got unsaved people on your heart and mind, and you want to tell them about Jesus Christ. And you probably have the gift of evangelism. And I do trust it'll show up on some of these when you hand yours in. If you have this gift, it'll show up on that little paper that we sent out. By the way, if you didn't get one, well, see me and we'll be glad to get you one. There's some out in the vestibule, I think. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is one, if not, well, I can't say the greatest, but I'll certainly say it's one of the 10 greatest chapters in all the Word of God. And I dare say that any preacher who knows anything about the Word of God would have to put chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, rank it in one of the top 10. And I'm sure those people who have ranked them in the past, I never have. I've got some favorites. But, of course, this is one of them. And Bum mentioned a while ago, we sang a song about the resurrection. In fact, when eternity was here a couple of weeks ago, that last song that they sang, "He's Alive." I was sitting right there, and I got excited. I almost stood up and said, "Now, you can't leave till you sing it again." It was all I could do to sit down and not get them to sing it over again. In fact, I was just thinking I ought to tell them, "Now, you'll never come back unless you sing it again for us." It was that great. Why? It spoke of our Lord and His resurrection. And boy, it did a tremendous job. Was great. And if that wouldn't curl your hair, something's wrong with you. If that wouldn't make cold chill bumps run down your spine, if I was here and it didn't do me that way, I would have gone home and I'd got on my knees before the Lord. And I said, "God, what's wrong with me?" I'd even doubt my own salvation. And I never have. But when we get to thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection, you know what it does to you? It'll do the same thing to you that it did for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they were. They had placed Jesus Christ there on the cross. They had tried to defend Him. They had begged Him not to go to Jerusalem. He says, "If you go there, they're going to get you. You know they've been looking for you. And that's where their stronghold is. And let's don't go there." Of course, His face was set there. Why? The Father had said, "This is where you've got to go, son. You've got to die." Here the disciples had gone to Jerusalem and they had seen them take the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. They knew they were going to beat Him. And they knew they were going to mistreat Him. And they knew they were going to kill Him in some kind of way. They might not have even known that He was going to put Him on the cross. The Bible has said this long before that that's where He was going to die, on a tree. And then after His death, and they took Him off the cross. In fact, the disciples didn't do it. Of all people, members of the Sanhedrin did it. The ones who crucified Him. The ones who signed the order to crucify Him. They took Him off the cross and put Him in the grave. They were in the secret service. They were secret believers, like so many Christians today. Say, but most people don't know about it. But they took Him off and they put Him in there, and the disciples scattered. They scattered. And there are those who say the disciples came and stole His body away. They were already in enough hot water with the Roman government. They were already frightened enough, and they'd already gone back to fishing. And to say they stole His body, that's absurd. You know, men can make up all kind of excuses to get around God and what He's done for man. Puny excuses. Let's say that He came and stole His body away. Why, they weren't going to come and break that Roman seal. Like I said, they were already in enough trouble with the Roman government as it was. And they weren't about to go there and move that stone and steal His body and take it somewhere else. It's very obvious that they were cowed now, like we are so often. Because they really didn't know that Christ was coming back from the dead. Even though all through the Old Testament, and we're going to see a few examples of this morning. How that the Old Testament said that He was going to die, but He was going to come back from the dead. And any church that doesn't believe in the resurrection, and when I say resurrection, I mean bodily resurrection. In fact, the word resurrection means for a corpse to stand up. The first part of the Greek word for resurrection is to stand up. And the last part is it for a corpse. A corpse stands up. A body stands up. You might kill this body. But I want you to know you can't keep a good man down. And I'm a good man. I'm perfect. Now you say, well, you're bragging. No. My goodness and my perfection was given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. In myself, I'm not good at all. In myself, I'm no good at all. The only good thing I have is what Jesus Christ has given to me. And He gave me righteousness the moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That He died on that cross. He was buried and He arose again. And it has to be in that. And that's what the Scripture is saying this morning. Notice in the 15th chapter, the first verse. Moreover, brethren, He's been talking to them about spiritual gifts. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Gospel is good news. Christ died. Is that good news? Bad. He says, I presented to you the gospel which I preached unto you, I proclaimed unto you, which also you received, and in which ye stand. Those folks there at Corinth were standing. Their standing before God was in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, we have such thing in the Word of God as our standing, and then we have our state. Our standing before God is what? Perfect. Because God gives us His righteousness the moment we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's our standing before God. And I stand this morning having a perfect righteousness, not because I'm good, not because I have done good acts in the past or I will do good acts in the future. It's because of the good act of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, His burial and resurrection. And He says, you're standing there. Now their state was in terrible condition. And there's a big difference between standing and state. Now, you're standing, and most of you today stand before God perfect too, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But where is your state? Where are you living? Are you living like you have arisen from the dead? You know, we give our testimony when we are baptized. And we say that as Christ died on the cross, we died there with Him. As He was buried, that's going down into the water, we are buried with Him. And as He arose, we have arisen. To what? To act like we're still dead? To act like we're still in our sin? No. We'll act like we are walking in a new life. A resurrected life. If you're walking in a resurrected life, you can't go down with your corner of your mouth pointing down. You can't go around with a frown on your face. You can't go around like you're taking your last step. You can't go around like the bottom of the world is falling out and you're going right down there with it. There's no way. No way. And yet some of you in that condition, that's your state this morning, isn't it? Like all is lost. Like everything is gone. That's not what Jesus Christ has for us. You stand. You're standing in the gospel, which, notice, by which also ye are saved. Saved. That's a good word, isn't it? That's a great word. We are saved. I was saved at the age of 19. Never will forget. One Wednesday night, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I put all my faith and all my confidence and all my complete reliance in Him. And that night He saved me. He'll save you too, right where you're sitting right now, if you never put your absolute confidence and your dependence upon Him. He's in the saving business. And these people there at Corinth were saved. Now, their state was terrible. We've already seen that they were arguing back and forth about who was the best, who their leader was going to be, One of them was coming to church, bragging about committing incest. They were coming to church, getting drunk. Oh, horrible. It is. That's their state. Standing? Perfect. State way down here. He says, by which you're saved, these folks were saved. If, and it's true. This is a first class conditional clause, which means it's true. By which also ye say, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, what's he talking about that? Well, he explains that in the 17th verse, and look there at the 17th verse. A lot of people say, well, you know, they believed and then they were lost. No, that's not what he's talking about at all. Once you believe, you have eternal. You have everlasting life. Look at the 17th verse. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is what? Vain. It's empty. It's void of truth. It's a lie. Ye are yet in your sins. Now, this is the only reason. He says, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Why? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Now you see, in the Roman world, there was a big movement going on in that day that did not believe in a bodily resurrection. Just like there are a lot of people today who do not believe in a bodily resurrection. They take everything in the Bible, and if it's supernatural, it was that which is above that which man can do naturally of himself. They say it happens spiritually. They spiritualize everything. And so when it talks about resurrection, they say, oh, we arose spiritually. And that Jesus Christ really didn't rise from the dead physically and bodily. He rose spiritually only. Hogwash. So why? Jesus Christ came out of the grave in a body. And that's what Paul is saying here. And that's what Satan would like you to believe. That Jesus Christ didn't come out of the grave bodily. That his spirit came out. Never anywhere in the Word of God ever, not even one time, does it say anywhere at all whatsoever that a spirit is resurrected. It never says the spirit dies. It only talks about the body dying. And our body, this old body may die. I don't believe it's going to die. I don't believe my body will ever die. What are you talking about? You're going to live forever? Yeah. I believe one day this body's going to be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. He's going to say this a little later on. And it could happen before we leave here in the next 15 minutes. And if I disappear, just zoom, I'm gone before your eyes. I want to tell you what happened. My body changed before you could, while you were blinking your eye, and I went through the ceiling. And I went up to the third heaven. When we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I will explain all that, but we don't have time this morning. And I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be with Him forever. And if you happen to be left here, the reason you were left here is because you have not put your faith and your confidence in Jesus Christ, your absolute reliance in Him, to have died on that cross, to be buried, and to rise again the third day. You haven't trusted Him. Therefore, you got left. And you're going to be on this earth for 7 years, and it's going to be the worst time this world has ever known, from Adam's time all the way through to the end of time. It's going to be hard. There's going to be suffering, and there's going to be sadness, and there's going to be sorrow like the world has never known. And the reason for it is God is trying to get your attention so that you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior too. He doesn't want you to go to hell. By the way, that's a good word too. Jesus talked about it. And if Jesus talked about it, we can too. I was somewhere the other day and I mentioned hell and somebody got shocked and I was shocked. I don't know where they've been going to church. I can't remember who it was. But apparently they hadn't been coming around here very often. Now, we don't talk about it a whole lot because we don't want people to go there. But we do talk about it. And it is a good word. And people need to know it. Or know about it. God doesn't want you to go there. He doesn't want you to go. That's the reason he sent his son to die and pay for all your sins, past, present, future. Everything you ever have done, are doing, and ever will do. And has provided salvation for you in total, completely, and has laid it out for you. And you have but to receive it by faith. You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to keep in memory the gospel, lest your faith be in vain. For, verse 3, for I delivered, and this word delivered means to hand over to you. And we are trying to hand over to you this morning who do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this same message. I delivered to you first of all that which also, of which I also received. And first here is a little phrase which means first as far as importance is concerned. When I was going to college, we had a little tract, a little gospel tract. We handed out thousands of them. And the name of it was, This is Important. This is Important. It was a cheap little tract. And it looked like almost like a piece of trash paper. But that little gospel tract and what it says inside was so vitally important. Because in just a few verses of Scripture, about three or four verses of Scripture, and a few words of comment, it told how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And when you trust Him, you have everlasting life. And that you can know it beyond any doubt by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so this gospel is so important. It's important for a lost world to know. Most of them out there. Most of the people in our town do not understand. All they know about Jesus. And they started a film in town up at the theater. Which one is it? I forget. Is it State? I always forget what the name of it is. The State Theater. It's called Jesus. And it's a great film as far as the life of Christ is concerned. I recommend it. And the last little phrase, even in the real last day, it says, you'll trust Christ, you'll trust this Jesus, you can have eternal life or something to that effect. I've forgotten exactly the last sentence, but this makes one little sentence in there as far as the gospel is concerned. Man, if they had just hit them hard, but just to that, it wouldn't have taken 1 minute. And hit them hard with Christ. It talks about Him dying on the cross and shows it there. It talks about Him being raised from the dead. But then if they had just busted them. And when I say busted them, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean give it to them full force that they can be saved right in their seat, right where they're sitting, right now, by trusting this Savior as your Savior. This man, Jesus Christ, because He died in your place and He paid for your sin. Oh, listen. And I'd like to have the opportunity of just taking 60 seconds at the end of every showing and tell them about it. Boy, what an opportunity. This is important. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, Paul receive the gospel? What, on the backside of the desert. He was there in Arabia. And he received the gospel. Jesus Christ gave it to him. Notice. For I delivered to you first that also, first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. This little word "for" here means on behalf of our sins, according to the Scriptures. What are you talking about, the Scriptures? That means the Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament talked about Christ dying. All through the Old Testament, we have a suffering Savior. We have Jesus Christ dying in our place. Oh, it's in shadow form. All the Levitical offerings. The tabernacle itself spoke of Christ. He is who he was. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. He was the God who took on flesh. He would die and suffer and shed his blood to pay for our sin. They had all those bloody sacrifices over and over again. They offered them. Why? To show that Christ would suffer for us, that he would die in our place, that he would shed out his blood for our sin. The Scriptures. Christ died for our sins. That he was buried and he arose on the third day according to the Scriptures. He did what? He arose. Old Testament said Christ was going to rise. All right, turn with me. Just heard it to Psalms chapter 16. It's on page 606. If you have a Bible like mine, if you don't, Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. Just close it and then open it up in the middle and you'll be there close. Psalms chapter 16, we begin reading at verse 9. Psalm 16:9. Therefore my heart is gladdened, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. David speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ in a prophetic form. For thou shalt not leave my soul in Sheol. Neither shalt thou permit thine Holy One to see corruption. What's he saying? You're not going to leave my soul in Sheol. Now where is Sheol? It's in the heart of the earth. I had intended this morning to go into that. But we're not going to have time, so we'll have to do that next Sunday morning. But he says, you won't leave my soul in Sheol. His soul went to Sheol when he died on the cross. Neither will you let the Holy One see corruption. What does that mean? His body's not going to go back to corruption. How long did he stay dead? 3 days, 3 nights. It takes a little longer than 3 days and three nights for your body to deteriorate. The first 3 days and three nights, it stays in pretty good shape. But then after that, what happens? Boy, it goes down fast. It goes down fast. And then it really begins to corrupt. But he says, you're not going to leave my soul in Sheol. You're not going to let me see corruption. Why? You'll be raised from the dead. Come back from the dead. And that's what Paul is talking about here. The Old Testament saints believed in a resurrection. We were teaching the ladies Bible study at the Bonanza last Wednesday. We were talking about the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And talking about Abraham and Isaac going up there on Mount Moriah. God says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your only son Isaac, and I want you to take him up there and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. I want you to take him up there and I want you to build an altar and I want you to tie him on that altar and I want you to slit his throat and burn him up. Abraham says, okay, fine. God will be glad to you. He did. He took his son and some of his young men, and they took off. And they got to Mount Moriah, and they went right up on top of that mountain. And when they got to the bottom, they told the young men, y'all stay here and we're going to go up and worship and we're going to come back. We. Who is we? The boy and I. Isaac and I, Abram said. We're going to go up there and we're going to worship God and we're going to come back. And here's old Abraham. He wasn't biting his fingernails. He was going to have to kill his son. His only son. Like to do a thing like that. But if God had promised you he'd come back from the dead, it wouldn't matter, would it? In fact, it'd be rather nice. I wouldn't mind dying this afternoon if I wasn't going to stay dead but just an hour or two. In fact, they would burn this old body up. I'd like to see what it's like if I was going to be resurrected. And that's what Abraham knew, because what? God gave Abraham a promise. God says, Abraham, your son Isaac is going to have some children. He's going to have children and he's going to make out of you the father of many nations. And here little old Isaac, he hadn't been married yet. And he hadn't been fiddling around. So he didn't have any children. And so Abram knew that God was going to have to raise him from the dead. Abram believed in the resurrection. And that's the reason he wasn't upset. And every time you get upset, you aren't believing in the resurrection. That's down where we live, isn't it? That's down where our state is. Why? Because this truth has not gotten a grip of our life. The wonderful truth of the resurrection. And I want you to know something else. We as Christians are the only people in the world. The only people in all the world who have this hope. Because we're the only one who's ever had a leader who has done it, who's passed the acid test of dying and coming back. And friends, it is. Have you trusted Him? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Do you know beyond any doubt right now if you die, you'll go to heaven? If you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross on behalf of all your sin, to be buried and arise again on the third day according to the Scriptures, saved. If you haven't, you're lost. Lost. And if you never trust Him, you'll be lost for all eternity. Forever. God doesn't want that. I don't want that. And I guarantee you, 90% of our church does not want that. There may be some who don't really care. I can't speak for all of them. But I do know that most of us do. Most of us really and truly do care. Will people go to hell forever and ever and ever? Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Right now, please examine your own life. What is your relationship to Jesus Christ? Is He just a God out there somewhere who doesn't care anything about you? Or maybe He does and maybe He doesn't, but I'm not sure. Or do you know Him personally? You know that He was God, and you know He took on flesh, and you know He loved you. And He died on that cross, and He paid for all your sins, and you have trusted Him personally as your Savior. As a friend of mine used to say, you put all your eggs in one basket. In other words, words, the only thing you're trusting, and the only person you're trusting is Jesus Christ. You're trusting nothing else. It has to be that way. It has to be just in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Will you trust Him if you haven't? Right now. Right where you're sitting. Father, we do thank You this morning for Jesus Christ. We thank You that He died in our place and paid for all of our sins to give us eternal life. We thank You we can know we're going to heaven when we trust Him. We thank You, too, that we know that if we do happen to die, that we'll be raised again. And we pray we might live with this first and foremost in our life, in our minds, that we are going to live forever in our bodies with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in His precious name we pray.